So, hi. I hope the washing machine doesn't keep churning and get in the way of us having a conversation. I'm back, and this time I'm back with my eldest daughter. It's Beverly at Parent Talk hashtag. And today, or this is, I don't know, you know, black mother living in London with her children. They're adults, mini adults now. We're here sharing our stories and experience in the hope. Let me stop this blasted washing machine. Oh, in the hope that it helps someone somewhere. So my daughter and I, my eldest daughter and I were talking, and I was telling her that the previous podcast I'd done was about school, choosing schools and what kind of questions you should ask. And we're talking about, and I was saying to her, and she's here, aren't you, babes?
Hey!
Oh my gosh, she's loud. Anyway, let me move stuff around. But, and I was saying to her that when she had chosen to go university, it was hell.
Let's just say that life took a dark turn for me. No, I'm lying. No, I did hit a very hard place because I'm very used to, I don't want to sound arrogant, but getting everything that I want in the sense that if I work really hard, through an application process or just getting the grades or getting the requirements for something, I typically get it because I feel like I've worked hard and I've manifested that.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came to picking unis and not being able to get the one that I wanted, I kind of went downhill. It was like, oh my gosh, it was the first time that I've been rejected with something. And I was just like, I didn't know how to take it because it was like, I've put my all into this, like I do anything else, but I still haven't gotten it.
Do you remember?
There was that whole side of, is this what God wanted? Or is this the path I'm supposed to take? Or am I supposed to learn something from this experience? Mm. So, you know, yeah, sorry for cutting you, but that was kind of one of the big lessons that I learned and that I've taken from reflecting on where I am at the moment. But I think the whole process of picking universities was just hectic. It was just like a whole lot of questions just came to mind. Mm. Like, what's it going to be like for me as a black student and female student?
Mm.
Like, what are the teaching requirements? And what do I need to learn? Do I like the course? Typical things that you would normally ask.
Mm.
When you're looking at schools, specifically for like secondary schools and stuff. But yeah.
Well, I remember, there was quite a few things that I was going to say. I remember when you was doing your GCSEs and you were like, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to get good grades. And you were just like so stressed out. And I was very much like trying to keep you calm and focused and, you know, just like, you put the work in, you'll get the grades. Even the teachers were saying to you, you'll get your grades. And I remember when you got your results and you opened them and you said to me, I didn't do that well, you know. And I was like, did you pass maths? Yes. What did you get? I think it was a B. Did you get English? Yes. What did you get? A B. Did you do physics? What did you get? A B. And I was just like, hold on a minute. You've got good grades. But you were like, no, these are not that good. And I was like, babes, as long as you don't have to take the exam again and you've got a good pass, you're fine. Yeah, you were fine. But then I remember now when you was applying for universities, these were different questions that we needed to ask that sometimes we hadn't thought about, or you might not have thought about, but I was saying things like, how do they assess you? Do you know how they assess you? Do you know if you like essays or if you like exams? Do you know if, you know, what subject you think you want to do, blah, blah, blah. And then we went to about, how many? Five universities?
Yeah, five.
And went on countless tours of campus talking to students. And I had to try and keep my mouth shut and allow you to ask the questions.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And then I think for me, it was really hard because what we were talking about was one of the mothers we know whose daughters just left to go to Manchester University and how she's not coping so well because her daughter is gone, you know what I mean? And that's another transition. And then you were saying, oh, well, it was all right for us because I went to boarding school. I went to boarding for sixth form.
Yeah.
And I was saying to you, basically, yeah, I did miss you. And, you know, when you went, it wasn't like, and you said, oh, but you have another child. And I was like, yeah, but you were you and your sister is your sister. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's not like I can substitute the fact that because you'd gone to this opportunity, this scholarship had arisen for you to be able to go to boarding for your sixth form. What was the benefits for you of going?
I think I really enjoyed the social aspects because there was a lot of extracurricular activities that we could do. And plus, just going away and just living on your own, having to fend for yourself. And also, the fact that my classes were really small, because it meant that the support that I could get from teachers was very, like, personal and intimate. So I felt like it just felt like one-on-one tutoring because I was in, like, classes of, like, 3-4 maximum. And although sometimes I did feel like, oh, I was speaking a lot and there wasn't enough ideas to bounce off of, the fact that there was like three of us, we could afford to have an hour extra long lesson, or, you know, we can bounce off of the teacher and do some more stuff because there was just so little of us in the class. So I think I really enjoyed that fact that it was quite small and the lessons were quite intimate. But I really gained a lot from boarding. I've met people from all over the world. I've learned to kind of live with them and, you know, understand different cultures and stuff. I've learned to kind of put myself out there a bit more in terms of, like, I joined a lot of leadership roles and I did a lot within the school in order to advocate for Black African minority ethnic students, or Black Asian, BAME students, and in terms of providing extracurricular activities that not everybody else had, for example, like dance classes and sessions and yoga and stuff like that.
I remember every weekend you guys were off somewhere. If it wasn't, I mean, yes, I remember that you were going to the movies, you know, because you were out of London. So it was like the group of you would go into whatever the town was where you were, or out to the nearest biggest town to go to the movies. But what I remember is, like, I remember you doing stuff that you wouldn't have done if you stayed in London, if you stayed for the sixth form. Like, you went orienteering, you went kayaking, you went mountain climbing, you did stuff that I was just like, She thinks she can swim. She thinks she can swim, and she's jumping into lakes and everything. I was like, my heart was in my mouth, but I never said nothing.
It was really good, I can't believe how the whole process went so smoothly as well. Like, oh, that's so crazy, man.
And I think so the bit that we were talking about, listeners, was about she'd been predicted 3 B's, or you needed 3 B's for Bristol University. And I'm naming them, you know, maybe I shouldn't, but there's a lesson there. And you, when you got your results, you got what?
BBC.
You got BBC. And before you'd even gone to the school to collect, you were on the train to go and collect your your A-level results to let you know which university you were thinking of going to. Before you'd even got to school to get your results, you got an email from Bristol, didn't you? And the place that they'd offered you, which was conditional that you got the BBB, they withdrew it. So when you saw that, you hadn't even gone in to collect your results, had you? Did you want to go in and collect? What happened?
No, it was actually really early in the morning. I mean, no, but I knew I had to open up the letter anyway because I was thinking, what the... Like, the first thing that was going through my head was, what the actual F? Because I worked my arse off, number one. And number two, the teachers were even like, oh my God, gosh, like, I'm very shocked. Like, you got an A in this and an A star in that and this, that, and that. And I was thinking, nah, if I didn't get BBB, I probably got freaking E's or something. And the first thing that went through my mind is, I'm going to get beaten. Because I was thinking, no freaking way. Not only did mom send me away to go to boarding school, but I haven't even got the grades that I thought I wanted to get. Imagine when I go home, like, oh my God, that was the first thing. So I was kind of just like, I was like, sugar, I don't know what to do. And that's why I called you later, after a few hours after, or whatever, when I was like, mom, I didn't get in, or this, that, and the other. And I hadn't even looked at my grades yet. But I just, in the back of my head, I was just like, nah. Because BBB to me is like nothing. Like, that was a safe option for me. I was thinking, oh, I could do fine. So, yeah. But anyway, we move. Grades are grades. At least I'm at uni. So.
But I understand that. But I think that I want to say to you that I did feel your pain and disappointment about not getting the extra B. And I know that you challenged the grade because you were told by your teachers that you'd missed an A by about 3 marks.
Yeah.
And that you'd missed, and that you'd got the C, and I don't know how many points you'd missed.
It was so close. Literally all of the grades were like around four marks, six marks, which could have easily been like a extra marks on an essay or an extra question or whatever. I don't know.
They said
the grade boundaries
went higher. So. Look, I know we are where we are, so I'm not going back over stuff to be painful. But what I'm trying to say, because there's going to be other people out there who've young people out there who've probably missed the grades. They haven't asked the question, how many points by. They haven't challenged and asked it to be remarked. Right, which is what you did. And I'm very proud of you for taking that step, because I didn't take that step. You took it. And then even you needed to go through clearing and choose a university quickly in order and decide what where you wanted to go quickly. And you didn't have the luxury of waiting to get the result and then being able to challenge Bristol and say, well, I've actually got the grades. I'm only 4 points away, blah, blah, blah. You had to find, and you were going on an expedition as well. So you had to find answers quickly. And so I'm proud of the fact that you challenged it and you chose to do that, not through pressure of your mum. I'm proud you are resilient. You're very resilient, because there's many a people or a young person who would have completely felt a failure and decided that they didn't want to go on, but you were like, I've got this expedition to go to, I'm already on it, I'm going, I found another university, it's offering me the courses that I'm looking for, yes, I've looked at the marking schemes, yes, I've looked at the modules. Do you understand what I mean? You did all of that, not with me, you did all of that. And then,
I mean, I had your voice in the back of my head saying, no, I'm playing, yeah.
No, my voice in the back of your head was, I remember when you were really stressed about having to make a decision, and I said, take the weekend. Take some days, just a couple of days to think about what you want to do. You don't have to make a decision when you're so anxious and so in such anxiety, you know what I mean? Because that's the thing that we all want to do. And then suddenly, if you make a wrong decision, it's just like, well, it's wrong and it's wrong and it's wrong. And I know for the first year, because it is your second year now at your university. And I know in the first year, we had lots of conversations about me. And I felt like I was really trying to encourage you about the choice that you'd made, about the fact that you are an intellectual child. You understand? You're an intellectual woman, not child, woman. And that at the end of the day, what doesn't break you builds you up for the next thing in your life. And you're more than capable of handling that. And you've got through the first year.
Well, yeah, the year didn't count when I put my arse off on the line.
No, don't even say that. Because, jumping from an A level to a degree, it is a jump. in the way in which you answer and respond to questions.
Yeah.
And the fact that some people don't finish their first year because of they've either suddenly say this is the wrong degree and I just, or I'm just not cut out for university life. And that wasn't you. Even though you knew that there was a lot of people having great fun and partying and playing around and doing what they were doing, you carved out your own discipline in order to get yourself through that. And you're harder on yourself than you need to be, but that's who you are. You set yourself really high standards.
Yeah. Unrealistic ones there. It's no, so sad.
Well, the thing is, right, at the end of the day, at least you have some standards. And my role is to try and just calm you down and let you take step by step rather than getting yourself panicked about stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying, babes?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're there, you're doing it. You're now living in, you're no longer living in halls. You're living in a house with other people that you don't know. And getting to know. Yeah, you've made that independent step yourself. You read through the contracts and did what you needed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could have done it without you, though, honestly.
Wow.
And well, without you and God.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we're here for you, you know? And you just do what you can, the best that you can. You know, I love you and I'm proud of you, you know, whatever will be, you know, but you'll always be my baby. You'll always be my baby. So, I think, I mean, normally I would have, you know, written a little thing, but it is a transition. You're transitioning into your adulthood and I'm transitioning into a mother with an adult child who is a woman growing into her own. And it's about trying to give you enough space to be you. That's what I'm trying to do. And not dictate anything to you because now this is all yours.
Yeah, but it's scary because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and you know, we're all scared. Look, even adults are scared, babes. You know what I mean? You just take one day at a time. Yeah, and you know, you've got some good friends around you. So when you need to have a little bit of a break or when you need to talk, your dad's there to talk to. I'm here to talk to. Do you know what I mean? You've got family members. You've got godmothers. You know what I mean? You've got a network.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a network of people, even though you might not want to always grab out to them, you know, but you've got a network of people. You've got the resilience. I mean, you know, when you went on the expedition before you got to uni.
I had to survive. I'm telling you. Yeah. It was literally life or death.
Literally. She's laughing. It's literally life or death. But
no, it was the best thing I've ever done, though, honestly.
Well, when you told me that you jumped off of some cliff and you hate heights, you know, you've done a lot of stuff. So when COVID licked in and they were talking about shutting down the area, and I felt more confident that you had been through the traumatic expedition, right? And you'd survived that. So I was like,
yeah,
if you can survive the expedition and be on rations where you've had to negotiate, take my nuts, please take my nuts. I'll have the chocolate, you know what I mean? Negotiate those things. You know,
yeah.
You've got this, girlfriend. You can handle this. Whatever's happening, you can handle this.
Yeah. So for all the people listening out on the Polly Pod podcast.
You don't have to shout, yeah, babes. You're right near the laptop on the phone. Can you hear me? Yeah, of course you can hear you.
Okay, just had to check. For all the people on the Polly Pod podcast, thank you for tuning in. And yes, the questions that you need to ask when you go to uni range. But don't worry. Just be there for your kids and support them and give them the space to be them. You know? Nobody wants me as a testimony for all of this.
I think,
but yes.
You know, what was funny, right? I don't think we argued. We came close to arguing about one thing, I think. Because you were adamant you wanted to go to this particular university. And I was adamant, looking at the grades that and the way it had performed, that it wasn't good enough.
Oh, yeah, because it was a metropolitan. No, wait, not a polytechnic.
No, it wasn't a polytechnic.
No, it was.
It had been, but it'd become a university, yes.
Oh, something like that. I can't remember. We nearly did have a disagreement,
we
though.
We nearly did, and I learnt to bite my... I bit my lip. I thought, I'm not going to argue with this child. Whatever she decides, I'm going to have just to go with it and just support her the best I can, because you're the one who's going to have to do the degree. You're the one who's going to have to, you know, do various things. There were universities that we went to that I liked, but the reality is you did all the ones that we visited, you didn't go to any of them. You ended up going to this one, okay? Which is just as good. It is just as good. It is good. It's a good uni. Lots of people have been there, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, don't beat yourself up. You're on a course that you want to do. You're intellectually challenged and you're up to it. So you just do you.
Yeah.
We have so many good conversations when we don't record it. And now we record it, it seems like I'm doing all the talking.
It's not even that, but yeah, you know, because this is your show.
It doesn't matter.
You know, people have come for you.
No, they haven't. They've come to listen to and probably learn something from what we're talking about. You know what I mean? At the end of the day. And some people just
some people just
want to listen to other people's lives, you know what I mean, and what they're going through. But at the end of the
day... Well, I'm going through a lot.
You're going through preparing for your assessment. Yes, I know. But thanks for sparing us the time, yeah? And thanks for reminding me we should record the conversation.
Yes. And from here on now, and the people bear witness, you shall record without my consent.
Oh, you want me to record without?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, babes.
Because then we don't have to be like, put the record on and then have to think of things to say, let the conversation flow. I mean, the conversation is flowing,
yeah.
But, you know, I want to talk about other things and I don't want to go on a tangent, but, yeah.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you're free to talk and I'm free to edit.
Oh my gosh, I forgot, but this is raw. They want the rawness.
Yeah, I suppose. That's the at least the cat hasn't interrupted us. I think since I've been in the kitchen doing the podcasts, like she did come in yesterday when I was recording one with a mother about the question she had asked the school and the secondary school that she's looking for a child. And the cat was outside at the door meowing, but you can't hear it so much. And this is the door.
Yeah.
She couldn't push this door open, you know, but she came in and then she was just like, meow. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? But you know, Bella the Great, you know, she is the leader in the pack.
Yes.
I'm looking after what's her name's cat as well, you know. She's gone away to do some course, so I'm looking after the other
again.
Cat. Yeah, so we both go downstairs. Bella and I go downstairs, we go into the other apartment, and Bella busses through. Goes out into the backyard, right? The other cat's like, and I feed the other cat, play with the other cat for a bit, and then Bella's not coming in. So I go about my business, right? I come in, and then two-twos, I look at the back window on the door, and she's at the back window crying, like, how could you leave me down there? Why? Let me in. And then I'm like, but you're wet. You're going to be walking all over people's beds and stuff to get in. And she's like, meow, meow. And then your sister says to me, just let her in, Mum. Just let her in. So anyway, that's what Bella's up to. But she hasn't come to visit you today. Anyway, look, we've wandered off. People are going to probably stop listening soon. So I just want to say to everybody, thanks for listening. We hope that throughout this conversation, you've managed to get some kind of insight as to some of the questions and how important it, some of the questions you could be thinking about, although we didn't have a list of the questions we asked at university, But I think we really did think about, could you see yourself living there? I think that was the key one. And do you think you'd be comfortable there? As well as what the course structure was like and whether or not you could do essays or assignments, whether you wanted a year out to go to another country or to study, or whether or not you wanted to have a year where you could work and then come back and do the rest of the degree. Those were discussions we had and questions we asked when we were at those open days. I remember that aspect of it, but it was more really about, could you see yourself living here for three or four years? And were the teaching staff approachable, and could you understand them? Because sometimes when you get to that level, professors are very in their own space about their subject, and it's whether or not they can relate. Do you think that you found lecturers there that, you know, speak a good enough level for you?
Yes, but funny enough, the lecturer that everybody dislikes, I really like. They dislike her because they say that she's very intellectual, but she can't present her information in a very simplified way. Yeah. So she speaks with all these big terms and, you know, complex ideas, and everybody's just there like, what are you saying? But for me, I understand. It's kind of like I've entered into her PhD world, mm-hmm. funny enough. So I think, and let alone she's also Indian, so she provides a different perspective on what we're studying and on the world. So for her, I think I found a very great mix, because we've got an Indian, we've got an Australian, and then we've got someone that's British, that's from here. So there is that kind of diversity within the teaching staff. Mm-hmm. So I do think I have found quite a really good balance. But in terms of the lectures I have for the other modules, they're just very, shall I say, conservative, and they're not used to ideas that are conflicting. Mm-hmm. So let's just say I pose as a challenging student to some of the lecturers.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there has been a balance.
But you take after your mother.
Of course. Sorry, darling.
So if you didn't make them think a little bit, or make them feel have to explain it in a way that it contextually looks at information, then they're going to have too easy a ride. They're earning that money.
I haven't even told you about the times I've actually been attacked
by
these lecturers.
What?
Not physically, but like, I feel like I might be taking it wrong or whatever, but like, I say something and I feel like the lecturer's looking at me like, oh, why? Like, it's always you to be challenging me. Just let it be what it is. And I'm just like, no one else is talking, so I'm going to talk. But like, I remember one time, one of the lecturers was like, oh, how could you think that? And I was like, sorry, it is what it is. According to Marx, blah, 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 and blah, 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 this is the case. And he was just like, basically what he was saying is, you're very bold to be saying the things that you're saying. And, you know, you really don't have any feelings or anything. And I was like, well, the purpose of academia is to be objective. I don't care about your feelings. This is what Marx has said. And it was literally just like, it was so funny. And I think ever since that encounter, it's been a bit like, there's a bit of tension whenever I speak or whenever I have something to say, because it's like, oh, she's the one who thinks outside of the box, and she's the one that has something different. And obviously, I've heard that when I speak, I'm very assertive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's firm. Like, I can say something and it will make you think what I'm saying is right, even if it's wrong. Like, I don't know, I have power with my words, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I speak, he's like, oh, no, like, she's got a really good point here. Like, and then he starts stuttering and stumbling because he can't figure out what he's going to say and how he's going to tackle it. And I'm just like, yeah, well, you're the lecturer, so you must have your opinions and your arguments backed up.
Mm.
But that's just one case. Sometimes I just feel like I get attacked being different. But it is what it is, because everybody wants to agree, but it's not every day agree, because that's why the dissonant moving forward, because we're stuck with this particular thought process or this particular social theory. We need to start looking out of the box and thinking of new ways of understanding things and stuff. But anyway, long story short, there's a great mix of many different teachers, and I think it's better, it would have worked out better here than where I am. So yeah.
So it works out better where you are, you're saying, than where you am. That doesn't make sense.
Sorry, that made no sense.
No.
It works out better where I am than where I could have been.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still thinking, you know, the whole point of a degree is to stretch your thinking around a subject. And some lecturers are used to teaching the same thing year in, year out, right? Mm. And it's some students, they just go to soak up what the lecturer says and then regurgitate it. And then there are those who go and hear it, listen, and say, well, hang on a second, there's another theory that can actually, you know, conflicts with this. And how does that really work? Which is really a good intellectual arguing. And it's good to know that it's not personal. This is just a perspective that's been presented. Do you know what I mean? And if you're going into law eventually, you'll have to be able to put forward arguments, whether you totally believe them or not. You've still got to put forward arguments and be able to think around a particular issue. So this is all good training, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did say about 5 minutes ago, we're going to finish.
Oh, yeah, sorry. See, no, but you see what I'm saying, people? But anyway.
No, but it was good. No, but what you said was really good.
The basics.
No, because it's really good. Because look, what you said was really good, right? Because when you're at secondary school and the kids come home and they talk to us, right? And if there's something that we don't understand or we can't, some of us will go back to the teacher and say to the teacher, you know, Rita, this didn't, my child didn't understand this. You need to teach it a different way. Or to be able to say to the teacher, you know, my child didn't get that. How many different ways did you try and explain the same thing? Or is there another way in which you could try and explain it so that they'll understand? Or can you find a resource that they can go to and find that? Parents, a lot of parents won't even bother to say that to secondary teachers. You understand? They won't say that to them. And I remember, I think one time you said something about your lecturer and I was like, do you want me to have a word? And you was like, no, mum, no, 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 mum, don't get involved. And I was like, actually, you're right. This is something that you've got this. You can put your arguments forward and you're formulating your views anyway. You know what I mean? So it's all good. It's all a learning curve. Anyway, I've taken you away from your assignment.
So. It's fine. I'm probably going to go to bed anyway in the next hour. This has been good. I need a break.
Okay. Well, it was good to have a break because otherwise you'd just go completely crazy. So anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And we hope that you have a really brilliant week ahead. For those of you who are choosing secondary schools and going to interviews, you know, where our thoughts are with you. For those parents who've said goodbye to their children who have gone to university, I am saying a prayer for you because it's difficult watching what you've taken care of so carefully for 18 years walk out the door happily with pots and pans and duvets and the fact that they're going to have the freedom to party and you can't tell them what time they've got to come in anymore. And you're worrying about how they're going to manage their money and how they're going to make friends and do all these things. You know, just remember, it's just one day at a time and they still need us to talk to. Hey, baby. Still need us to talk to. So we've still got value, parents. So until next time, you take care of yourself, sending you blessings and prayers, and just have a really blessed week. And we are out, aren't we?
Bye!